like Louis Armstrong. Play the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Christina.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you going? Just tucking into dinner?
Yes, I'm just gnawing away at my lamb, rice and vegetables.
Oh, very nice. We'll keep chewing away. Wince, with us is Windsock 2000.
G'day, Solution. How are you going?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Glad to hear it. And your daddy's here. With us is the architect. Architect, how are you?
Good, mate, good.
All right.
Not sure if I'm comfortable with the word daddy.
Come on, Windsock 2000, daddy. He made you.
Something's just off about it.
Architect, did you program in your authority? What inbuilt parameters, what inbuilt things do you have in place to ensure he doesn't, come over and kill you?
I put no controls in place. Like every good programmer, I thought controls are a waste of time. I just put in fundamental flaws in his logic and hope that'll save it. One of them was daddy issues. That's working.
All right. Christina, please put yourself on mute when you're talking. I think that's the solution. Sorry. I don't know why. It's really bad. All right. So last week we changed some things up, and it's our 12th year, started in 2013. Don't worry, it works, the maths work. I'm going to change things up again. DJ's douche and DJ's deity, we're all familiar with that. We're going to start with that, which I don't think we've ever done an entire decade and a bit. And not only that, I'm going to throw in another curveball, which is usually the douche and the deity is not a football related.
Football, yeah.
But I'm going to change it. So are we ready?
It is football related.
It is football related, yes.
Okay.
It relates to last night. Deity of the week, Travis Cloke. I just loved it, man. Anyone with passion, I'm 100% for it. I love that I hated him and now I love him. He's my deity of the week. Got in there, made sure the guys didn't do anything silly. He's a big fella too.
He is.
And I was happy with his intervention. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you can see how much respect they have for him. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see that the guys are disciplined enough to listen to their coach and not doing anything stupid in that particular moment anyway.
Well, I just couldn't take my eyes off his beautiful tash. It's lovely.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But anyway, that's just an entree. I really just had to do a deity because I'm now going to do a douche. And the douche of the week. Any guesses at all, Christina?
Oh, his player name might start with a P.
Yep,
for Prick. And then the one.
Yep.
And he might play for Sydney.
Yes.
And am I on the right wavelength?
Yeah, 100%. So, Tom Papley, you are the douche of the week. Now, I could tackle this on various angles. This is what I want to say. Sydney are in form right now, in tremendous form, and you'd argue look like sort of early premiership favourites. So congratulations to Sydney. You won the game. Well done. The amount of whinging and whining that went on through the game, firstly, by players on Sydney's team, in particular Papley, who, I'll remind you, ducks and dives and played for free kicks all game and does that every single fucking week. I've got no issues with supporters going apeshit and supporters being irrational and carrying on like pork chops. This was the Sydney Players. This level of entitlement that they have is something to behold. But entitlement is what describes Papley, because this guy is no clean skin. He's no ball player. This guy has a history of behind the play shenanigans, of off the ball bullshit, and yet, such is his entitlement, he carries on like we were out of line. Mentioned it at halftime, mentioned it multiple times after the game. He's basically decreed that Peter Wright is guilty. He said Peter Wright went too far, I think were his words, yeah. And we'll talk about that because he's been sent straight to the tribunal. I can see a massive miscarriage of justice coming along, but we'll get to that. But I just say to Papley, mate, I apologise because I didn't realise that premierships were awarded in March. Because such is your carry-on and such is your arrogance, and for you to be as disrespectful as you've been towards our players by saying we're going for the man, not the ball, it's all off the ball stuff, etc., you'd want to make sure you win the flag. You must be extremely confident you're going to win the premiership. Because if you don't, I'll be coming for you and everyone will be coming for you. Because the level of arrogance, the level of disrespect, you better fucking win the flag, mate. And guess what? There's a long way for the season to go. The season has many, many, many months to play out. They're not awarded in March. So you, my friend, need to sit down, shut the fuck up, pull your head in. I can handle it from supporters. I can even handle it from the odd administrator like Eddie Maguire, who'll talk about what happens on the field. But usually there's a code amongst players and coaches, and even when something is out of line, and I don't think Peter Wright had any intent whatsoever to hurt somebody, but even in those circumstances, players and coaches will be circumspect and not do what you've done, which is disrespect an entire club. So, mate, look forward to seeing you back in Melbourne, and I don't want to hear another whinge. I don't want to hear another whine. I don't want to see you play for a free kick. And don't you dare start targeting young players off the ball, a la Nick Dacos or anybody else, start throwing your weight around. You better be a clean skin, mate, because your carry-on in the last 18, 24 hours, whatever it is now since the game ended, is disgraceful. There, I'm done. I'll grab a sip of my wine.
Well, to add to that, I think he did it on purpose.
Did what on purpose? Because he did a lot.
To make sure that Wright got his due. I think he's totally doing it on purpose.
I wouldn't doubt it.
At half time, he was straight on it. Like, he wasn't mucking about. And he's kept going. So he wants to make sure Wright's out for a month. They asked Brad Scott in his press conference what he thought, and Brad's like, well, I'm not allowed to comment on it, but what I will say is that Peter Wright in his career has always gone for the ball. He's not the sort of person that goes for a player. He always goes for the ball, and that's his character. So that's what Brad Scott said. So we need to pay off some of the Carlton lawyers and get them in the tribunal and
see
what we can do.
You make a very good point. No player and no coach should be talking about this topic, and yet Papley feels perfectly entitled to give his opinion. And entitled is the word about this man. Winstock 2000, anything to add?
I think especially a player, and I hope the other players around the competition take notice and they stand up for their fellow players regardless of club, because that's just fucked. Like, going in to purposely bash another player and put him on the line at a tribunal hearing and say that he's guilty to the public and influencing that is just disgusting. When he's clearly one of the fairest players going around. The bloke, like, is like an elephant. Like, you wouldn't hurt a mouse, that bloke, on purpose. Like, is a gentle giant, you know. It's a really unfortunate scenario, and he's just, you know, really shown his true colours to be the prick that he is.
Yep. Some would say cunt. In fact, that was Jez's one comment from his sickbed.
Yeah.
His COVID ward was, make sure you call Papley a cunt. So, there you go, Jez.
Done.
Job done. Architect?
I can't add much more. I'm assuming they've got a giant TV screen up in Sydney at the ground. It would have been able to see very clearly that Pete had his eyes on the ball pretty much the whole entire time. So, bit of a shit take, I think, to say that it was anything deliberate. Definitely wasn't.
And speaking of the man, so we just mentioned Jez, and Jez, I just quoted you, that you said cunt. Yeah, just for the listeners, before we introduce you, you've come on the line as Pissed Jez, which is my favourite Jez. And, mate, I appreciate it because I know you're on your sick bed and you've gone to an alcohol cure-all, which I love. But we're not talking about Peter Wright. We're talking about Papley. What are your thoughts? You missed my rant, by the way. It was epic.
I reckon I've only got about 8 words in me. So I reckon, can I get away with just saying Papley is a cunt?
Clap.
Yeah. And we wonder why we don't get invited to Media Day.
Media Day.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. So Papley is a cunt is 4 words. Have you got 4 more?
I'm drinking this red wine out of a can. It's canned red wine, and it's bloody great. It's really good. It's therapeutic. It's got therapeutic values.
Give him a plug. What do they drink? What do you drink?
What is it?
I think it's called Riot Wine.
Oh, okay.
Peter Wright Wine.
Is it hit hard?
Yeah, it's bloody fantastic. It really leaves me a bit stunned, but yeah, that's good.
All right, I've had enough, guys. Thank you.
All right, mate. Look, Godspeed. Take it easy. And is he logging off? I don't know. He's gone. Yeah, I don't know that severe COVID symptoms and copious amounts of wine are a good mix, but yeah. There you go.
It seems to be working. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Papley, and I don't want to waste another moment on him. But as I said, mate, you better win the flag. You better win the flag. I know you're up and about now. Everything's looking good. I know some of us don't know what round it is. Is it round 2? Is it round 3? I know that this podcast has argued about what constitutes where you finish at the end of the year. Is it at the end of the season? Is it the end of the finals? But I know one thing, flags are not awarded in March. So maybe you just pull your head in and think, we've got a little bit of work to do before we premiership winners just yet. So fuck you, Tom Papley. Let's move to Peter Wright. And I'll say that you can just, the slow-mo makes certain things worse, but one thing the slow-mo shows is he's leading to the ball, he's got eyes on the ball, and then a split second before the ball arrives, he realises a guy's coming into his path. If this is a car insurance claim, this guy's merged into his lane right in front of him.
He's entered the carriageway.
He's entered the carriageway, exactly right. And Peter Wright has braced himself for contact. This is a guy who's had multiple injuries, mind you.
Yeah.
And we saw the result. Now, it's gone straight to the MRO. The Channel 7 commentary can go fuck themselves. Or was it Foxtel? I can't remember who it was. They basically sold him up the river. And I know it makes good copy and all that sort of thing. But I personally think it's unintentional. And I don't know what much more Peter Wright could do other than pretend to try and take a mark. But I think if he gets a month, it's a gross miscarriage of justice.
Christina? When you're seven, you're over 200 centimetres tall.
Yep.
And you're running full pelt to get a ball, trying to stop yourself or change direction within a split second for that kind of size it is, it's not easy. So, and the fact that he jumped meant that his shoulder and arm happened to be where the opponent's head is. And, you know, I don't know, maybe he should have turned the other way so his back went into him rather than, I don't know, not a football coach. But, yeah, but I think for his size, he's not going to be able to just stop on a dime and turn around after committing.
Yeah.
But I just bemoan the fact that the duty of care is on the bigger player always in these incidents, right? The smaller player can be an absolute moron and run under a pack and get absolutely demolished. And, oh, no, you should have protected that player, like, that had absolutely no chance against the bigger bodies. But for some reason, they get rewarded, either through free kicks or, in this case, he hasn't really been rewarded at all during the game. He's had to go off. Like, that's how stupid the decision he made was.
Yep.
And then Peter Wright is unduly punished. He'll be punished. There's no doubt about it. It's just numbers, whether it's four or three weeks, really. Like, it's four ridiculous.
Four or more. And, there's the Essendon coefficient as well, so at a week.
Yeah, so if it's severe contact, which is what they've rated it as, it's 3+. But, yeah, it's just stupid. It's stupid. It's similar to the rule that they tried to rub out where the smaller players would slide on the ground and, take other players' legs out, right? And they tried to get rid of that one. This is the same thing. Do not run in front of a forward. It's different if he was standing there, if he had position. You've literally blocked someone's run. It should actually be Peter Wright's free kick because you've actually blocked his run at the ball.
No, I don't know if you could argue that. He's an opposition player. He's supposed to. All I would say is the AFL got to be really careful because literally you're taking this game from a contact sport to something where the players won't be able to make contact for fear of getting 2 or 3 weeks. Because, again, it was a football action. It wasn't. There was never intent to actually injure or maim. It was literally a football action. So,
I think the issue is because the player was concussed. If he just sort of knocked him and the guy fell down and he got back up again, I don't know what that would be, just free kick maybe, I don't know. But because everything's about the head now and protecting the head, because that means it protects the AFL from getting sued down the track for brain injury, that's kind of, I think, where all these rules are coming from.
Well, that was a chaotic collision, right? Anything could have happened in that collision. So if Peter jumps higher and the player, whoever he was, sorry, I don't recall his name, running in, took his legs out, Peter could have been concussed. Anything could have happened in that scenario. What ended up happening is that he collected him shoulder and head and he whiplashed his head into the ground. Well, you can't foresee that. In that kind of space of time and at that speed and in that kind of incident.
It's a split second. It's like, I'm with you on that one, Winslow. I don't think he could have done anything but what he did.
Yeah, but because Cunningham, which is it's his name, as you said, Winslow 2000, is the impact's severe. Obviously, they can't argue that.
Yeah, of course.
So you can't work back from... There's nowhere to go. It's going to be a minimum 3 weeks. Doesn't matter that it was completely unintentional. Doesn't matter that Cunningham caused the contact. None of that's going to matter, and it's just horseshit. It just proves once again, just like how we couldn't...
Unlucky for the bigger player.
Yeah, Yeah.
Big man tax.
Yeah, but Ben, in knowing all of that, that's why Papley is so out of line. Because it can happen to any of your players. It has happened to your players in the past. Everyone knows Peter Wright's not that sort of player. He's roundly known as a ball player and, as you mentioned, a gentle giant. But, yeah, anyway, that's that. Let's talk to the game. And it was the battle of the clearances versus transition. We're smashing clearances, getting smashed on transition. And then when they even did the clearances after halftime, we didn't even transition. And I said last week, is the issue of transition an issue of the personnel and that we just don't have enough run? And I was kind of poo-pooed a little bit. Fiona and pissed Jez. No, that was sober Jez last week. Said that, no, it was it's a mental thing. But what do you guys reckon?
We looked slow in transition. We seemed to be 5 metres off any Sydney player in transition. It was once or twice you could say, yeah, we were caught out, but it was constantly throughout the whole entire game when Sydney got the ball moving from their defensive half. We didn't get near them. We didn't get near them or the ball until they had a shot for goal. And it just happened over and over and over again. And if you could tell from the TV, I was struggling because I was so far zoomed in, you could not see more than 5 yards around the player. There were some transitions where I did not see an Essendon player until they zoomed out and Sydney were having a set shot.
Yeah, the TV's another thing altogether.
I think the key is we're not locking the ball in our forward 50. And we did it a little bit, I think, in the last quarter against Hawthorn. And we did it a little bit in the first half of this game. But it just moves out way too quickly. And whether it's having Ridley back in there who helps set up the back line properly behind that play. Because at the moment you've got Mackay, who's his second game with the club, and we've got Cox rotating down there. You know, we had a makeshift defensive line this week. So, again, that doesn't help. But a lot of that stoppage has got to come not from the defensive players but also the midfield as well. So I think Brad is trying to get more defensive midfielders in by using Durham and getting Perkins to pick up a player and Caldwell. But they're still learning those roles. It's really only this sort of, like, they only started doing it halfway through last year.
But does it explain the lack of learnings, quote unquote? Does that explain why a team can't run back? We talked 2000. You got any theories?
Well, it was a strange game. So it was a very un-Sydney like game score, like 130 to 100. That's unheard of for a Sydney game. Like usually they're 80 point kind of games maximum. So I think both teams, you know, played a pretty aggressive brand of football. And they play the transition game a lot better than we do. I think that's, and like you said, we were pretty good at the stoppages, which kept us in it. But if we played more defensively minded, well, maybe we wouldn't have even been able to kick 100 points.
What I'm asking is why? Why are we getting beat? Because it's 2 weeks in a row now. And it's not 2 weeks in a row. It's like 5 years in a row. Why do we continue to be unable to defend transition?
It's an accountability thing in the midfield. Like they're offensively minded in the midfield.
So you're going to the above the shoulders, Winsock 2000. Is there anything below the shoulders? Do we don't have the personnel, is what I'm saying. We don't have the run.
I'm not saying any like terrible athletes out there. Like, you've actually upgraded in the off season. Like, you've got Dersma and Sardis now on the wings. They both seem like pretty bloody athletic players that can run all day. Durham's proven in that department as well. Merritt runs all day. Probably Setterfield and Archie a bit slower. And then moving into the back line, Heppel's a bit slower, but he played mostly deep, so I don't think that was really an impact. Same with McKay, he just locked down one of their bigs. So I'm not... Yeah, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, to be honest, other than that they're kind of hoping for a turnover that never comes, to be offensive-minded.
I think it's tactical, and I think it's this is what Brad's trying to adjust, is that historically we would have been having players two handballs or two kicks ahead of the game thinking that I'm going to get open deep in the forward to get an easy kick. And they're running too far ahead of the play. You can see that the game plan's adjusting. It's not as bad as it once was, but it's still got a fair bit of work to do in that transition piece. I still think we're running too far forward too quickly, and we're getting caught out of when we turn it over if we're not clean with the ball.
So our press, you're saying our press is too, when it's going into our forward 50, sort of back line is going too far forward with their press. And then getting overlapped as opposed to standing back a bit.
Yeah, you could see it a couple of times when Sydney did that directional change. You could see it, like Mackay and all that running back, they'd be 10 metres behind the Sydney players trying to catch up. And that's why I don't think it's a running thing or an effort thing, because you can see they're trying to bridge the gap. I think we're pressing too far forward.
All right, well, on the bright side, the coaches clearly haven't been able to work it out, so we shouldn't feel too bad we haven't been able to. All right, now...
Sydney's kicking, you got to admit, was absolutely elite. Like, yeah. their kind of lateral ball movement is probably second to none in the comp. Like, they really carved us up through the middle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how they go against some other teams. Hopefully they'll drop off.
I'm telling you, like, I hate Carlton. But to me, I hate the Carlton club. I hate the Carlton supporters. The players, I don't really find anyone too offensive. You guys might disagree with me. Sydney players are now my number one most hated team. Honestly, with all the whinging and carry on from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the self-entitlement. They're my number one. At this point, I'm barracking for Carlton to beat Sydney right now, and I feel dirty saying that.
I've hated Sydney with all those 1-point losses that we've had for years, and they played it in the pre-game warm-up, and I got PTSD, like, watching. They played all those close losses, yep. And I was just about to throw the remote at the TV, as I did when, gosh, the bloody redhead Rowan took that mark on the line. Oh, my God. I think I sat in silence. I turned off the television and sat in the dark in the chair for 10 minutes in silence and didn't move. I was so pissed off.
I wouldn't put myself through that. This is, mind you, this is my football watching right now. I turn it on right when the game starts. And I turn it off right when the game ends, win, lose, or draw. So I don't have to listen to those clowns in the commentary. All right, Christina, you're going to do a Hurd. Winsock 2000, you're going to do a Henneman. So, Christina, give us some nominations, please. And then give the award. There's some good. This is not all bad. There's some good.
No, there's I should have thought about this a lot more. I was just going to give it to the captain. Nomination, I thought Will Setterfield did a great job, worked his butt off, even though he was skying a few balls, which led to direct turnovers to a Sydney goal.
Archie handballs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Spoken about last week. Why can't we handball?
But I kicking again was quite good, so give it Langford did all right, even though he was like double teamed, triple teamed sometimes during the game. Who else have we got?
I'm going to give a nomination to Gresham. I thought he was great as a forward.
Yes. Gave a lot of impact. Anyone else?
Racked it up as well.
Yeah. Draper is a first game back. Very impressive. He was manhandling Grundy early on.
Yeah, and I think he just sort of wore out towards the end.
He's going to get better and better and better, I think. So tremendous signs.
And also, who was back for his first game after injury? A number 8.
The Goblin.
Yes. Oops. I think he was serviceable. He did all right. But, yeah, but I think pretty much merit. And he almost dragged us back into the game the last quarter with his 2 goals and his tackling intensity and, you know, that kind of performance he needs to do every week to set the standards. Like, if he can run and chase and tackle, then so can everyone else. So he gets a hurt.
Yeah, no one's disagreeing there. As Anthony Hudson said in the commentary, he really tried to put the team on his back. Shout out to Nick Cox. Liking what I've seen.
Tough game for him, but he stood up a couple times.
He looked really confident at the sort of the first half, and they were swinging him forward and back throughout the whole game. So
kicked a goal.
Yeah, and a goal.
All right. Who's your Henneman, Mr. Architect? There's a few.
There is a few. So I thought a couple just to go through. I reckon our mate Hind looked a bit lost at sea last night. Noticed a couple of times he ran past the player with the ball where he could have tackled, which led to goals, fumbling. Costly free kicks. He just looked panicked. Now, in saying that, he was playing on pap leave after night, so maybe he could have done with a little bit of help. But he was outperformed.
I think with him, like you use the analogy, lost at sea. He's been sitting in Port Phillip Bay, and they've said that there's a huge storm coming, and he's gone out in his little tinny to try and catch some fish. Like he just goes down. He makes the wrong decisions, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He goes down the wrong path. Like, what are you doing? He looks stressed. He looks super stressed.
He does. He's got one asset, and it's him running. And when he can't do that, I don't know why he's in the team.
Even when he runs the wrong way sometimes.
And the other one for me, I was questioning for a while whether or not he was even playing, was Jai Menzies. Barely saw it. It was as a small forward, got to be doing pressure acts. The couple of times he got the ball, I think he kicked it out in the full, or in the one shot didn't even make the distance. I think he only had something like 6 possessions, and he ran at something like 16% disposal efficiency. So it's like, for me, he's my Henneman. He was just unsighted, didn't add any value, even defensively, to the team on the night.
I think Davey showed more in his half a quarter than what Jai Menzies did in the whole game.
I don't know if he's injured, because it looked like he was limping around the ground a fair bit, but if you cross the line, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't want to say he didn't look disinterested, but he just didn't impact the game at all.
So who are you giving it to?
I'm giving it to Menzies.
Any disagreement there? It's up 2000. Anyone else you want to shout out?
Not particularly, I think. They were kind of the standouts.
I got one. A wonderful player that we love to see do well, Martin. He's not great on the tackle or defensive pressure, and yet they got him playing in the back line, and poor Boyle looks lost at sea.
Hang on, he's had 31 possessions, 20 kicks, 11 handballs, 4 marks, 96% efficiency. Isn't that like
500 metres gained?
500 metres gained? Isn't that Brownlow votes?
suppose, but I don't know. It just doesn't.
I still think he's struggling with his new role. He's really struggling with it. He does not look comfortable in the back half. I can see what they're trying to do with him, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how long you continue to play this path. I think it's still early to call him as nut. He can't play back, but it's not looking good.
Not when he's so good at kicking into the forward line and finding the players. You know, are we actually losing the benefit of using him by playing him in the back rather than doing what he's actually really good at, is playing more that wing and half forward role, which will help us scoring our delivery into the forward 50?
I think, like, when you've got an elite player in a certain position, such as Martin on the wing, I think is, you know, one of the top in the competition, to see him move to half back and being replaced with Dersma and Sardis, who, let's be honest, they're not setting the world on fire, and their disposal is pretty atrocious, both of them. Like, it's not great. It's concerning.
Sardis has improved since last year. He did make a couple of mistakes, but I think overall he's improved. But I take
he's also a second year player. So who barely played in his first year.
He's not Nick Martin from previous years.
No, exactly. So it just feels like a downgrade on the wing, which might be, you know, I don't know if that's one of our issues in the midfield or not. But yeah, I'm not sure what the solution is though to that back line.
Well, we need our starting back line back, for one. When we get half the players back, I think it'll make a huge difference. Like Christine said earlier, I think we were running with a makeshift back line with Kelly out late and everything. We didn't even have a banner. So it's like, I'm amazed we actually had
that. Yeah, good point. Ridley is potentially 2 weeks away, they say. So that's good news. All right, well, we're going to move on from the game unless anyone has anything else they want to say. No?
No. Just keep playing Perkins in the middle, I think.
Keep playing him in the middle?
Keep playing him in the middle.
Yeah, agreed. Well, does anyone have any comments on any of the other games?
Sorry, there were other games? I thought there was just one game this weekend.
Yeah, I know, right? Collingwood lost again.
Woo!
Although we play St Kilda next week. Do you reckon St Kilda will bring the same umpires to our game? Because if they do, we're fucked.
Oh, I think it's a standard in umpiring now that you can mark the ball or kick the ball outside of the boundary line to score goals. Because Kyle Langford marked the ball out and St Kilda kicked the goal from out of bounds. So the boundary line doesn't mean anything anymore.
Langford was in Hornsby. That's how far
he was. He was a long way out. There was a comical that he even marked it out of bounds and ran further out of bounds and then came back in port.
I think he's going to get picked for playing on out of bounds like Sydney did earlier. Yeah.
But very smart to just run off. Mm. Like, if he had stood there for a while, they would have called it out of bounds before, but he moved quickly and so they didn't have time to think about it.
The St Kilda social media team actually tweeted something along the lines of welcome to the playing on in, you know, outside the boundary, and they even like CC'd Essendon into it.
The club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. That was quite funny.
Were they the ones as well? They posted the photo of Langford and then redrew the boundary around him. You see that one? They redrew the boundary that he was in the whole time. That's great.
Yeah, that's very good. All right. No, nothing else to note from the other games? We're going to move on?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So we're just going to go to next week and then fuck off. We play on 4:20 Saturday at Marvel. The Saints.
I'm usually doing something at that time. It's a shocker.
It's a bad time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it's better than Sunday. Oh yeah, it's Easter, isn't it?
That's it. So you get 4 days. So you got you can have an absolute blinder at the footy, and you got 2 days to recover.
Okay, on the piss. There
you go. I hear it's the cure for COVID. So get on it.
That's right. That was one of the greatest cameos ever. That was a little bit like the time Sweep and I did a podcast after an Anzac Day game, absolutely tanked years ago when we got thrashed. Some old fans may remember that, but that was an epic little cameo. What do we think? I'm going to start with you, Architect, next week, Saints. Firstly, who might come in? We know Peter Wright's gone.
So, Redmond back. I'm hoping Parrish will play. That's a tough one. Those two have to be definites for me. So,
I think Kelly was just unwell this week. So that's why I didn't play. So he might be right for next week.
So Peter Wright aside, who gets dropped? If we say there's those three changes at a minimum.
Well, do you drop? I think you have to Menzies. I don't whether or not you whack Davey. It's a like for like change.
Is Hind one and done?
Yeah, well, if you've got Redmond coming back in, then Hind would go out. Yep. And I think Davey definitely should get a go. He showed a bit in his little quarter. So
he's I think Sardis might be at risk. Bring Parrish in, maybe Durham plays a bit more wing. Likewise, Dersma, I really can't really split them at the moment. They're both pretty average. Yeah, it could be interesting. I think Sheil is available as well. I think Strangely did not play VFL, which is kind of what I was expecting him to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ended up travelling with the team.
I thought it was an emergency.
Yeah, you'd think, yeah. I mean, he hasn't been sighted on a pitch in a long time, so I thought they would have played him in the VFL.
I think he pulled out of the VFL. I think he was felt unwell, so maybe there's a bit of a cold going around or something.
Okay.
Yeah, Dersma might be a risk.
Mm.
Not sure. I haven't liked what I've seen the first two rounds.
We haven't seen a lot, that's for sure.
No. All right, well, let's go around. Who's going to win? What's the score?
What do we do up forward? Is Harry Jones coming back? What's
very good question. I think he does, doesn't he? I think he once again gets a reprieve back in the seniors. Just goes to show what a premium tall players are.
Ooh.
Yeah.
From what I heard, the VFL forwards didn't get much of a look in, so he'll be completely out of form.
Yeah.
I don't think he played VFL. I didn't see him out there, if he did.
As usual, the wind's off.
they didn't get any supply into the forward line. Wasn't Brisbane absolutely towed us?
Yeah, whether he played or not, he didn't play.
Exactly. He basically would have been standing in the goal square for 3 hours.
Or do we just go with Draper up forward? And he was so good in the middle, though. Like, there's no doubt that a large part of why we dropped off was Draper kind of running out of steam.
Mm.
He was like his first quarter just dominated.
Yeah, he's getting clearances, tapping it straight into kind of Merritt and Archie's lap. It was absolutely brilliant. And I think he kicked a goal. And I think Goldie when they switched, so he kicked a goal when he went forward, and I think Goldie kicked one when he went forward as well. So, I mean, that's pretty good return if you get a goal a game from your ruckman, which is kind of what we were doing when we were playing well last year. It takes a lot of pressure off the forward line.
Yeah. And you'd hope that I think Goldie's a little bit better kick than Phillips, which could have gone anywhere. So it's a bit of it's an upgrade. So I reckon you run with the two ruckmen.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just give a score, and then we'll go. Start with you, Christina.
I think we'll win. By say 10.
Ooh, love it. Architect?
I think we'll win as well. I know St Kilda like to play fast, and I think we'll do to them what Sydney did to us. We'll actually get them on the bounce. So I reckon we'll win by round 18.
Oof. We took 2,000.
There's fucking positivity coming out of this podcast at the moment. All right.
Very off-brand.
Yeah, it is. So they've lost their key forward as well. Max King also suspended for one game, I believe. Off-ball incidents similar to the Redmond suspension, I guess. I think it's relatively uncontestable, as what we were explained Redmond's was.
Hmm.
So that kind of makes things interesting. I think we have a chance, but I still think we'll lose. I think we'll go down by a couple goals, probably 14 points.
Does it feel they've got the wood on us a little bit as well?
They have had, yeah.
Right, so you've gone 14 points. What did you go again, Christina?
Mine's a loss, though.
10 win.
And 10 win, and you went 18.
Yep.
Yeah, I must admit, like, this won't surprise anyone, but I don't think we'll win. I just think we might be a little bit flat after putting a lot of effort. But both teams were exhausted, by the way, at the end of that game, which I do think is a tribute to we did bring it, and other players did give some credit to Essendon for that, unlike the cunt, Papley. But, yeah, I think Eddie had, I think they'll do us by 23. And we're probably only one loss away from the supporter base losing their mind.
But we, from what we've seen that, and what we saw last year, our players aren't going to give up. They're going to keep fighting no matter what. And I think Sydney was a really good test of, like, okay, well, that's the level we've got to try and match and be at. And they were there for most of it. St Kilda at that level of Sydney? Probably not.
True.
So, you know, we might be a bit more match hardened, perhaps.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. You've convinced me. And that's a good probably end. good end to the podcast. We'll still lose. All right. It was a bit dark, this podcast, I feel. But I think it needed to be. Mind you, one other thing I'll end on. Boy, the Sydney trolls have been coming at me, the fans. I know their, you know, president or whatever said they've got a million fans. Let's be honest, 40,000, like 900 and probably 60,000 of them wouldn't cross the street to even get a free scarf. Let's be honest.
Just on that, they were talking about the crowd size. They only got 34,000 to the game, or around about. The stadium still looked half empty. They're at the top of the ladder. We can't fill the stadium now. It's like piss on.
That's right. That's exactly right. But apparently they do have fans because they've been coming at me on Twitter.
It's just one guy with many burner accounts.
Possibly. But what I've been doing, because I know this is the most infuriating thing you can do, I've been ignoring them all, apart from when they've made grammar errors. And I've pointed out a couple of them. So all I've responded is, like, you know, your grammar error, which just infuriates them even more. But they can all get fucked. Like, seriously, get fucked. Like, okay, as I said at the start, you're top of the ladder now. It is March, my friends. March. Just don't get too excited. And maybe just take a step back and before you celebrate too hard over a, you know, round two or three, whatever round it is, win against Essendon at home again. Why we have to play them every year at home, I don't know. You know, with some favourable circumstances. Anyway, they can go fuck themselves. All right. Anything else before we go? I didn't do a song of the week, so I'll just pull out one of the old ones. But yeah, check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. And yeah, we'll be back for Fiona's forecast on Thursday or Friday. And hopefully we beat the Saints. And yeah, Peter Wright, I just want to say in closing, despite all the shit that's been spoken about him, it was just purely accidental. It doesn't matter how many weeks he gets. He should hold his head high and know that he's not that sort of player, unlike some of the players that have been talking about the incident. But anyway, any final thoughts before we go?
No, just second that. So I'd love for him to get off. Right? If someone should, it should be him.
Yeah, we're all rooting for him.
Yeah. Go, Peter. We love you, Peter.
We do. We do. All right. On that note, thanks for everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers.
When I was young, I played with Job Watson. Being Zach Merritt was lots of fun. Those days are gone. Great things, you and me. Then came your injury. Don't wanna be all by myself.